morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. We have about 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for winds and a small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect all day today on into the evening. And those two advisories often go hand in hand because, as we've talked about, especially recently on the Ship Report, about waves, waves are primarily generated by the force of the wind on the water, which generates eventually friction and causes those waves to the water to kind of take on a life of its own as that energy is transferred into the water and moves across the surface of it, heading toward places like here, where we have in the marine weather forecast today northwest winds with 15 to 20 knots. With gusts to 25, easing a bit in the afternoon. Near shore, south winds will be 10 to 15 knots early. Wind waves from the northwest, 4 feet high at 6 seconds between wave crests, and westerly swells, 10 feet high at 14 seconds apart, and a chance of showers. And today we're going to talk more about that just developing nightmarish scene off the coast of China with that oil tanker that is ablaze, the one that I talked about yesterday with you, that hit that wheat ship that was here in December on the Columbia. Those two ships, for reasons that are not known at this point, ran into each other in open water with no particular visibility issues happening. And now the oil tanker, which is carrying a particular kind of petroleum that's very toxic, is in danger of exploding. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about something much more calm, which is our ship schedule here on the Columbia. We have 5 inbounders, 6 in the Astoria Anchorage, and 3 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Xing Zun Hai. Apologies if I'm mangling that. For anyone who truly does know how to speak Chinese, San Francisco, she's arriving from there, headed for Portland to the scrap metal facility on the Columbia. As I said yesterday, she's probably coming in to pick up metal that is partially, at least, crushed cars that have come down on barges from Puget Sound area and other places. And that metal will be sent to Asia to be made into probably automobiles, among other things, for steel production. She'll pass Astoria around 5 a.m. You might see her in Portland by about 11 a.m. The Scarlet Cardinal is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there maybe by about 8 a.m. I saw a ship passing by, took a picture of it out the window at Coast Community Radio today and posted it on Facebook. So it was a ship, just a beautiful sight, ship with a pilot boat running alongside. And in the kind of foggy gray weather, there's a little red light, that pilot light, well, pilot light, not like on a stove, but a light on the ship, that on the vessel, that shows that it is a pilot boat, part of its running lights. And just a beautiful image going by the waterfront in Astoria this morning. Next inbound is the Atlantic Brave. She's headed, arriving from Japan, headed for Kalama to pick up steel. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 8 a.m. and arrive in Kalama by about 3 p.m. The Sarienda, she's a ship that comes in fairly often into the river, arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there by about 1:30 p.m. The Westwood Victoria is a Weyerhaeuser-owned ship arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Longview. She's a ship that's capable of carrying containers and bulk cargo, and she's pretty versatile. She could be coming in today with newsprint, or possibly her cargo could be things like bales of wood pulp, things like that. But she'll pass Astoria around 1 a.m. on Wednesday, headed for Longview. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Scarlet Cardinal that arrived this morning. She'll be there, headed for Kalama, and she'll be there until about 2:30 when she heads for Kalama to pick up wheat. That would put her in Kalama by maybe, 7:30 this evening. That leaves the King Milo, the Alcyon, the Medizuos, the Bluefin, and the BTG Fiji awaiting orders. And our outbounders, the Graeca Universalis, is leaving Longview carrying wheat at about 3 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6:30 a.m. The Bulk Carina is leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 11:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4:30 p.m. And the Saga Andorina is leaving Vancouver at about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. Well, I have a story I want to share with you from the Washington Post about this ship that it's just turning into a nightmare. The ship has been ablaze for several days now, burning petroleum of a very toxic nature, kind of petroleum. There are different grades of petroleum products. This one, the ship has been ablaze. No one's been able to find any of the 32 crew members alive. I think they found one body. And now the vessel, experts are concerned that it's going to simply explode. And if it does that, it's going to dump a huge amount of this toxic substance into the East China Sea. So let me read you some articles, some stuff from this article. Beating rains, fire, and 10-foot seas are making it impossible for rescue crews to rescue the Sanchi, an oil tanker on fire in the East China Sea. Now, these are conditions, these 10-foot waves. We have them here all the time. We have them out there today, as a matter of fact. So the kind of conditions that we're used to here being routine are happening there, and it's making things difficult. 3 days after it collided with another ship off the coast of Shanghai, the tanker is still ablaze. At least 30 Iranians and 2 Bangladeshi citizens were aboard the tanker when the collision occurred. One body has been recovered but not identified. Rescue crews said there were no signs of survivors so far. The South Korean Coast Guard told Reuters News they had to stay 3 miles away from the tanker because of the danger from the fire. Since the crash, the Sanchi has been billowing thick plumes of black smoke in the air. Unless the fire can be brought under control, officials worry the ship might explode and sink, releasing its 1 million barrels of oil into the water. The resulting spill would be about 3 times as big as the Exxon Valdez spill of 1989, one of the worst environmental disasters in history. It would double what the Prestige oil tanker released when it sank off the coast of Spain in 2002. That accident damaged beaches in France, Spain, and Portugal and led to the closure of one of Spain's richest fishing areas. Officials are particularly worried because the ship is carrying something called condensate, an ultra-light version of crude oil. Condensate is highly toxic and even more combustible than regular crude oil. It also is nearly colorless and odorless, which makes it difficult to detect. Here's a quote from someone from the National Oceanography Center at the University of Southampton speaking to the BBC. "This stuff actually kills the microbes that break the oil down. If she sinks with a lot of cargo intact, then you have a time bomb on the seabed, which will slowly release the condensate. An oil leak into the East China Sea could also have serious effects on the waterfront's wildlife. If the ship does not sink, the environmental impact would be much more limited. The Chinese government has said it has not found evidence of a large-scale oil leak. Much of the oil, between 40% and 70%, would probably evaporate in hours. Of course, if fumes drift toward towns and cities, they could aggravate existing health conditions or lead to coughing and asthma." Here's another issue for people trying to help in this situation. The thick smoke and toxic fumes wafting from the ship, the poisonous gas as a result of that, is very harmful to rescue workers in the field. So, just a very, very difficult situation in a very constrained environment. You know, people can't jump off the ship and run away. And they even are having trouble approaching it to get close enough to fight the fire because it's so hot. And even if they do, the environment is very toxic to the people who are even trying to help in this situation. So a very, very difficult situation for the people who are involved in trying to get it under control. There doesn't seem to be much hope for anyone who was a crew member aboard that ship. When I think about a fireboat trying to pour water onto a fire like that, it just makes me think of this interview I did. I mentioned this yesterday about how when you put water on the deck of a ship that's on flames, the steel gets so hot that the water can boil. So the rescuers who were trying to put the fire out can't even stand on the deck without enduring life-threatening injuries. So a very difficult situation. We hope that they get it under control and the worst does not occur. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.